Imagine what the headlines would be if that video was updated for 2020. And as we begin our series, Emmanuel, come and deliver us. Some of the folks that commented here on our online event, somebody's scared of, it says tornadoes. At first I thought it said tomatoes, but tornadoes. Somebody else is scared of birds, bridges, and poisonous animals. Living in Devon's not good if you're afraid of bridges, right? I mean, we have to use it quite regularly. Fear of falling, and so many other fears. I'm sure that if we had time here, you would be able to say something to that effect as well, of the things that you are afraid of. But as we begin this series, and Renata just reminded me, it's a good Ukrainian Orthodox background, I guess, that Advent actually starts next Sunday, and that is true. So I am ahead of myself. So it's all right that way. If you are joining us online, if you are here in person, I want to remind you that what I will say to you, if you have not yet said yes to Christ, this is a wonderful opportunity to say yes to Him. If you are finding your own world internally, perhaps your small circle of family and friends in turmoil, this is a great Sunday for you to say, yes, I realize that Jesus has come. This Emmanuel has come to set me free, to help me. This is for all of us. So, the world in which Jesus was born, around, let's say, the year 0 AD, nobody really knows exactly the year, but around that time, so nearly 2,000 years ago, we had this man, Caesar Augustus, who was in power, but the Jewish people found themselves, as they had pretty much all the time, ruled by an outside force, the Roman Empire. And the world that they knew, the ability that they had, their freedoms were somewhat restricted. They were impacted. Do you know that this little piece of land that we call the Palestine Peninsula, for the last 4,000 years, on average of about every 44 years, some army, some group has come by and always taken it over, conquering it, kicking somebody off power and taking power. So this little piece of land has always been in turmoil. And it is into this world that Jesus comes, where it's an upheaval. Things are not the way they were ever meant to be. Not for the people of God, not for the whole of creation. It was not a fun time. It was not a great time. And honestly, if we were to look at the world at that time, and if we compare that to our situation, the details are different. We're dealing with COVID. We're dealing with political unrest. We're dealing with all kinds of things. The economy is not good. Our own lives and jobs and situations. So many of us are finding that to be challenging. And in this world, this day in 2020, as we prepare for Advent, as we prepare to celebrate the coming of Christ, we get the feeling again that the world is not the way it was meant to be. And this is why Jesus came, and this is why Jesus still wants to come into our lives and into our world if we would but let Him. So as we think of the story, Isaiah 7:14, Matthew 1:23 kind of repeats the story beginning with verse 21. But we read this scripture. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. What a wonderful name, isn't it? God with us. And if you look at the time that Isaiah wrote this, about 700 years before, his world wasn't any better than ours. The king did not want to listen to what the prophet of God had to say. And there was an allegiance that they wanted to form, and he didn't want to. And but there were benefits to doing that. But anyway, at the end, it did not turn out very good. And again, the prophet in his setting speaking these words that the, because he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. The prophet, the king would not listen. And so then God is speaking through this prophet named Isaiah, says, well, then the Lord himself will give you a sign. And this is the sign that a very specific young woman will conceive and give birth to a son. And his name is not going to be your it's not going to be from your line. It's not going to be your kid. It's going to be somebody special that the Lord has. He will send him, and his name will be Emmanuel. Just when you think that God is not involved in our lives, when you think that God has forsaken us, when things have seemed to have gone so wrong, God will come and remind you that he is with us. Of course, in the story in Matthew, we keep hearing when the announcement of John the Baptist and then the announcement of the birth of Jesus, the angel speaks and says, I believe to Joseph. And she, Mary, will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Matthew goes on to say that this was said specifically to fulfill what Isaiah had said about 700 years before, that Jesus will come. Now, what's in a name? What's in a name? I often love to ask people, what does your name mean? Now, most of us in the Western world don't really know what our name means. But most people in the rest of the world, they can give you a very good story of why their parents named them what they named them. And, you know, we have, I don't see John and Felicia here today, but ask John about his Nigerian name. They are probably so amazing at how they name their children. Ask him to tell you what his Nigerian name means. And it's, they come up with things like, the name, it means, the Lord is my strength. Or, the Lord will bless my right hand. Or something like this. Well, what is in a name? The name Jesus is the anglicized version of a Greek name, Jesus, where we, and you'll see then, but that's taken from the Hebrew name Yeshua, where we also get the name Joshua. The name Joshua is a version of this name. Now, in the Spanish-speaking culture, probably because of the influence of the Catholic Church, there are Jesuses everywhere. You know, there's this famous Brazilian player that plays for Manchester City. And they're like, and Jesus scored. And Jesus won the game. And like, Jesus always wins the game. Maybe not that Jesus, but so Yeshua, you heard that name. Do you know what that name means? You see, it's a combination of these letters of where we get the name Yahweh. Yahweh, that's the first part. Yahweh, it was a common prefix to names, that like in the name Joshua or Jehoshaphat. Those are, and in the Hebrew language you find lots of them. But it means Savior, the Latin word Savior spelled with an X, like one of the universities we have in the East. But the name Jesus means God to the rescue. Because Yahweh, and as they combine those words, it means saves or delivers or rescues. And I love this name that the first time I heard it was from Daryl Johnson, that Jesus, God to the rescue. You ever felt like you need rescuing? You look at our world, do we need rescuing? You look, just look here in our community, look in our province, look in our country. We don't even have to go very far. We need rescuing. We need to be delivered. We need to be saved. You see, this is the honest truth, is that we all need rescuing. And you need rescuing when you can't help yourself. And this is the truth that happens, that God needed to create, come up with a plan to rescue humanity, because you and I cannot save ourselves. So as we look at this sermon series, so I'm still in the introduction. I'm trying not to get too excited about this. Here are the sermons: come and deliver us from fear, Come and deliver us from despair. Come and deliver us from hopelessness. And this is my favorite one. Come and deliver us to yourself. Those are the sermons I'll be talking about. We'll start today with Emmanuel. Come, deliver us from fear. Father God, I ask that you would come today and speak to us by the power of your word. May the words that I say, the words of Scripture, by your Holy Spirit, be made alive to us and speak to us and draw us to you and remind us again and again and again that you have come to deliver us from fear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when did fear enter the world? When did fear enter the world? You see, in creation, as we hear and we read the story in creation of Genesis, everything is going okay until Adam and Eve disobey God. And you remember that then, as Adam and Eve are hiding, and as they hear, imagine this. They heard God walking in the garden coming towards them. How's that for a scary experience? But they heard him. And for the first time, however long it's been since they have been created, since the creation of humanity, however long it's happened, for the very first time, we read in Genesis 3:10, when Adam and Eve are asked, "Where are you?" And they say this, "We heard you coming, and I was," what? "Afraid." And I was afraid. We were not designed from creation to live with fear. And yet this opened the door for every human being since then, throughout history, to have some level of fear. And the truth is, even that those people say, I'm not afraid of anything. Under the right conditions, at the right time, we would all freak out in fear. Whether it's a bear, whether it's a bridge, whether it's bad roads, whether it's not knowing where your kids are, whether it's the boss saying, I need to see you in my office, whether it's a visit to a doctor then with a phone call, you need to come in to talk about your results, whatever it is, we are all afraid because this disobedience of our first parents opened the door to all of our hearts, all of our minds to experience fear. So then it should come as good news that the most frequently repeated command in Scripture is, "Fear not." Now, I haven't done the math, but those that have tell us that there are 350, how many days in a year? 350 what? Aman, where's the teachers? 365, that there are 365 times in Scripture where we read, "Fear not." I mean, even in the story that happens that when the announcement of Jesus is made, is the angel appears to Mary, and what does he say? "Fear not." The angel appears to Joseph, and what does he say? "Fear not." The angel appears to the shepherds. Poor guys, I think they had the worst deal of it. A whole bunch of angels, and all they're told is, "Fear not." Aren't you glad that your Heavenly Father knows that we experience fear in our day-to-day life, whether it's something simple, whether something serious? And he comes into our situation, your situation, day in and day out, and he says, "Fear not, for I am with you." Actually, did I ever even read the verse that I had from Isaiah? "Therefore, the Lord," no, not that one, this one, no, it's not that one, it's coming. I think it must be the next verse. Yeah, here we go. Listen to this. Isaiah 41:10. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Friends, Isn't that a wonderful reminder in this season? Isn't it good to hear the Lord Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, say to you, and to me, do not fear, for I am with you. Whether you're here in person or online, I think this is a reminder that we all need to hear. And I pray that we will sense that in our spirit every morning, God saying to us, so do not fear, for I am with you. I will uphold you. I will not leave you on your own. I will strengthen you. Whatever comes your way, you can handle it because I am with you. I look at the folks here and I've seen some of the people that were online. And, you know, I know some of the stories. And, you know, these stories and the lives that you have, situations you have encountered, challenges you have faced, it's good to know that you could stand up here and tell us those details and say, you know, this is how God has quieted my heart. This is how God has spoken to me. This is how he has sustained me, how he has upheld me, how he has walked with me in the loneliness, in the difficulty, in the tragedy, in that which was unexpected. Listen to how this individual describes fear. Fear is a natural, powerful, and primitive human emotion. It involves a universal chemical response as well as a high individual emotional response. Fear alerts us to the presence of danger and of the threat of harm, whether that danger is physical or psychological. Part of the reason why we have fear is that it's actually good for you. It helps you to be a little more careful. Now, depending on your personality, you may push that a bit more than others, but that is one of the situations that is there. So what are some of the causes of fear? Think about in your own life. Loss of control. Hasn't this whole COVID thing reminded us how little control we have? I know some of us would like to fight every single instruction we get from a provincial government. Well, nobody's going to tell me to wear a mask. I am not going to not have a Christmas party. I am going to do this. I am going to do that. The reality is, friends, that most of us have lived under an illusion that we have control over a whole bunch of things. Henry Cloud says that the only control the Lord has ever expected any of us to have is self-control. And I got a question for you. How's that working out? How's that working out? If we can't even control ourselves, God help us trying to control other things. Those of you who have children, you'll remember the first time that child looked at you and you realize you've never seen those beautiful eyes look at you that way. And then this wonderful word came out of their mouth, no. Well, uncertainty causes fears. Where is this world going? What's going to happen with my job? What's going to happen with my kids? What's going to happen with my health? Am I going to die first? Is my spouse going to die first? Who's going to win the election? Or who won the election? Or, you know, how is this winter going to be? La Niña is going to have an effect on us. It's like, we don't know. The threat of harm. You know, I told you my funny story about being in Ecuador and my voice going high-pitched and kind of freaky. That's because you feel threatened. You feel a sense of impending harm. If you've ever been in a near crash while you're driving, it's like we were driving up in northern Alberta one time coming from Gruard back to Edmonton. And my friend, I don't know why I let him drive, he ran a stop sign. And as soon as we crossed to the other side, this big semi came by. I was okay for about 3 minutes, and then I nearly peed my pants. Fear will do that to you. Phobia. Now I understand there are some medical conditions. Some people actually have a medical condition that is more serious and that they need treatment, they need medication and so on. I understand that. But those are some of the causes of fear. Listen to this as well, what somebody has said in this article, fear in the time of pandemic. It's a long quote, but I'll read it. Fear is a normal reaction to danger. It allows us to guide our choices and our actions to avoid taking excessive risks for our health and our lives. However, we know that not all human beings have the same sensitivity to danger. Some tend to undermine it and go ahead no matter the risk, while others are much more reserved, some even paralyzed by fear. And that's happening in our world today, friends. Because, you know, when you've had a tornado come through or a hurricane and there's another one coming in less than 2 weeks and it's stronger and it's going to make a bigger mess, that's a scary thought. That really is. When you get on your car and you're going to drive to work and you realize that those roads are a lot icier than you expected that they would be, we should be scared. So there is a good side to fear. Please understand that. But what are some of our current fears that we're dealing with? The pandemic really is a big deal for a lot of people. And can I say something, having spent 16 days in the Bahamas working in a hospital where that's all we were treating, and when I would go in to do chaplaincy, let me tell you, you make sure you put on all that equipment exactly as you're supposed to, because everybody in there has COVID. You become really careful. And, you know, some people think, oh, well, it's this, it's that, it's not real. When you listen and you see and hear the stories of people who've lost not one, but four, five, six people in their family within a matter of days, it's serious stuff. It is scary because it's so much bigger than ourselves. And here it is. We really can't seem to control it. Lockdowns and masks and sanitizing, those are all good things. But you and I still can't really control that. It's a scary thought, isn't it? What about the climate change? You know, the situation that happened with Hurricane Eta and Iota in Central America, and I'm not sure whether Iota is going to head towards Florida, but it made a mess. We've had more serious hurricanes. This is a record year. You know, we have not been very good at taking care of God's creation. He told Adam and Eve to take care, to steward his creation. And we as evangelicals who should be concerned about it are generally not very concerned about it. And in fact, Romans, Paul, in Romans, the Apostle Paul says that the whole of creation was subjected to the curse against its will, and now it awaits redemption. The whole of creation is waiting for Jesus to redeem the mess that we human beings have made out of it. But we still need to be careful because our climate around the world is changing. And for you and I, we don't see the effects as much. For others, it's pretty serious because the climate impacts them more and more. You know that La Niña, which is the year that we're having this year, it's only like 1 or 2 degree temperature differences in the water along the equator. That's it. 1 or 2 degrees Celsius difference. That's not very much. The political unrest, the mess in our neighbors to the south, the situation in Ethiopia where they're nearly at war, the whole war that's been going on in Crimea and or in Armenia and Azerbaijan. But there's it's a mess. Every form of government we've tried hasn't worked out that great, has it? Things could go bad so quickly. And then, you know, our local, our national, our world economy. You know, there's talk about how are the developing nations going to afford vaccine? And so the G20 group are talking about, well, maybe we should fund some of that. But these are serious reasons why today in our world we have fears. But there's two bigger fears that are there that I think have always been there that have nothing to do with the current situation that we are dealing with. One is the fear of living a life of insignificance. That's a serious fear. To come and to work and to go to school, to have a family, and after 60, 70, 80 years to look back and say, what difference did that ever make? This is why people tell us that on the short term, We normally regret the things we did. In the long term, people regret the things they didn't do. So the other one, which is probably a very universal fear, is this: death and the afterlife. You know, you get to be about my age and you start wondering, okay, so what if I die? Yeah. What happens to my family? What happens to my wife? What happens? And we all know we're going to die, but we all live like we're not. Or at least we don't think it's going to be us. Right? None of us think, you know, well, you know, I have my circle of friends. I'll probably be the next one to go. Thank you, Jesus. No, we always think it's going to be someone else. And the afterlife, what happens after you die? And if what the Bible says is true, that there is eternity and that there is heaven and then there is hell, whoa. Well, that's scary, isn't it? So what difference does it make if Jesus comes into our world? What difference does it make? Well, he has this claim that he makes a big difference. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Jesus thinks that he makes a big difference. Some people say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Oh, yeah, he did. Some people say, well, Jesus never acted like he had power. Oh, yes, he did. So number one, Jesus comes into the world to deliver us from all our fears. I don't mean the fear that you might get burned so you don't, you know, of course you don't touch the stove. Not that, but the other fears I've mentioned. That's what he comes. Remember that he came to be Emmanuel, God with us. But Jesus delivers us from the fear of an insignificant life by offering us abundant life on earth. Remember what he said in John 10:10? The enemy, speaking of the devil, has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Other translation says that you may have it, life to the fullest. The Message says so that you may have more and better life than you ever imagined. You see, when God is part of our lives, when we surrender our life to Christ, like that new song we played earlier, then God takes whatever he's called us to do, the things he's gifted us to do, the skills he's given us to do, the passions that we have, the interests that we have, and he uses them that we may find our place in his plan of redeeming the world to himself. And that's how we can go every day to do whatever it is that we do and say, I am so thankful that I get to do this. Because God has made my life significant. He's given meaning to my life. Oftentimes, you know, for people who come to Christ at a later age, it's not like they drop everything they were doing and they start doing something else. No, they can carry on doing that. But now the motivation, the purpose, the reason is something else. And so Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have life more abundant to the fullest. That's the difference that he makes in our lives. And those who have encountered Christ, who have said yes to Christ, will testify to that. Yes, I am at this stage in my life, and I look back and I feel so blessed that I got to do what I got to do. So that's number one. Number two, Jesus delivers us from the fear of death and the afterlife by offering us eternal life with him. Isn't that good? Isn't that great? We don't have to wonder about the afterlife. We don't have to wonder where we're going. We don't have to fear death. You see, in John 11, as Jesus is talking to Martha and Mary, he makes this outrageous claim. I am the resurrection and the life. She who believes in me shall never die. And if they live believing in me, even though they die physically, they shall live eternally. What a great promise. That Jesus claims not only that he gives us abundant life here on earth, but that he himself is eternal life, and that by believing, by trusting him, we will have real life. My mother's 82. The other day, I think I was mentioning, she went and pre-arranged her funeral. And they gave her the option of paying it all or paying on a monthly installments. But she's like, well, I'm going to talk to my financial advisor. And she decided to pay the whole thing. And you know, she says, I just want to be ready. I'm not afraid to die. I'm old. I lived a good life. God has been good. And even though she worked for 40-some years in a potato processing plant, peeling potatoes, grating potatoes, day after day after day after day, for 40-some years, she says, God has been good to me. I've lived a good life. Why? Because Jesus delivers us from the fear of an insignificant life. And why is she almost happy to have gone and pre-planned her funeral? Because death is the doorway to our eternity with Jesus. Why would we fear that? Why should we try to avoid it? Why should we try to prolong it? You see, in John 14, Jesus continues as he's speaking to his disciples. He says, you believe in God, you trust him, trust me also. And then this wonderful promise, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. And I am going there to prepare a place for you. And when it is finished, I will come back so that I can take you, that you may be with me forever. Isn't it wonderful that we have this hope that we get to spend eternity with Jesus? The Bible speaks a lot about hell and gives some very horrible descriptions. But let me tell you, I think that the most horrible part of hell is to live an eternity knowing that you didn't have to be there. To spend an eternity separated forever and ever and ever from a God who loves you, who gave his son for you, who made everything possible so that you and I could spend eternity in heaven with him. Whatever else there is good about heaven, I think I'm going to be able to mountain bike and do all those crazy tricks and fall and not hurt myself. That's kind of my picture. For some, it's golfing. For some, it's, you know, you go curling. For some, it's, you know, like the beach all the time. I don't know. Whatever all heaven happens to be, the most amazing thing is that Jesus is there. That's why I want to go to heaven. That's why Jesus comes and delivers us from that. So here's a question. Have you received Jesus' offer of deliverance, or are you still living unnecessarily in fear? Fear of an insignificant life, fear of death and the afterlife, fear of, you know, what if I get COVID? What if this? What if that? What if all of those scenarios. Jesus today says, come to me, for I am the resurrection and the life. Come to me, for I am Emmanuel. I am God with you. God wants these words to be so true in your life. So fear not, for I am with you. I will uphold you with my right hand. I will strengthen you. This is the invitation that we all have. This is the invitation of not only a full life here, but eternal life with him. When we consider that, friends, when we really think of that, why would we not say yes to Jesus? Why? There is no real good reason for that. And so Jesus has come to deliver us from fear. Not just these fears, every fear, to help us manage all of that. That we may live life and life to the fullest. Maybe you are here today or you're online and you're honest with yourself and you say, yeah, I am not 100% sure of that. I know I'm pretty sure I have not said yes to Jesus. But if he is who the guy talking there says he is and who the Bible says that he is, if what I have heard is true, I need him. I would like him to be in my life. I would like to say yes to him. I don't want to live paralyzed by small fears or big fears, real or imagined fears. I want this life. And if that is you, you can, in the quietness of your own heart, say yes. Yes, Jesus, I want you. Yes, come and be to me, God with me. God with me. If you're online, you can reach out to us, send us a message. If you're here and that's the prayer of your heart, the desire of your heart, come and talk to me afterwards. We'd be happy to pray with you, to share with you, and to welcome you into the family of God, where it's not like the fears are gone, but they don't paralyze us anymore because God has delivered us. You know, he's come for that. Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus, and that nearly 2,000 years ago, he came to this world, a world that was in a mess. And he came to be Emmanuel, God with us. And that he came for so many reasons, but one of those reasons is that he came to deliver us from fear. So we say yes to you again today. In his name, amen.